Hi, welcome to Second Wind Women, the place where we celebrate women who've taken everything they've learned in life and turned it into an unstoppable business. If you've spent years supporting everyone else's dreams while yours waited in the wings, this is your moment. Right now, women are rewriting the rules of entrepreneurship, using their experience and wisdom to build businesses that honor both their ambitions and their true selves. Here you'll hear real stories from women who've walked this path, practical strategies that actually work, and honest conversations about the unique challenges and the incredible advantages of starting over with intention. I'm Karen Spies, creative strategist, business coach, and your navigator on this journey. I believe your experience isn't something to overcome. It's your greatest advantage. And together, we'll discover how your second wind can be your strongest yet. Today, I'm here with Katie Rush of The Perfect Pelvis, and she's in Lee's Summit, Missouri. So can you tell us a little bit about your business, The Perfect Pelvis? What is that exactly? How are you making pelvises perfect?
Well, so we do pelvic floor physical therapy here. So we help women, and most people are familiar with pelvic floor physical therapy. They think of it in relation to postpartum care, potentially menopausal care when people are having issues with leakage or leaking when they cough or sneeze kind of thing. That's what people think of a lot when they think of pelvic floor therapy. But we also do a lot of work with pain. I work a lot of people who have had hysterectomies, who have had endometriosis, who have chronic pelvic pain. They have pain with intercourse. And I do some work with men who've had various falls and traumas to the pelvic region, some that have had prostate surgery, and I work some with kids as well.
So how did you get started in pelvic therapy? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. So yeah. It was, there was just a need for it. I was working at a hospital where this is a brand new treatment. Like when I went to physical therapy school, this did not exist. And there was just a need for somebody to do pelvic therapy. And so my boss asked me to take over, and I didn't want to, because when you do the training for it, you're going into a room with 40 other people and you're doing pelvic treatments and vaginal exams on each other, and there's no privacy. And I was not super comfortable with that, but I went ahead and did it. I thought, I'll never see these people again. It's okay. And I was really glad I did. I was glad I learned so much about the pelvic floor, and then it made it possible for me to really make a difference in people's lives.
And is this something that is just in private practice, or is this offered in like hospitals and such too?
Typically hospitals will offer it as well. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There just may be limited availability.
Right. So was this just a part of your career path, or was this like you were doing, you know, you moved into so I guess you were in physical therapy a while, and then you became a pelvic therapist, right?
That is correct. Yeah. And even once I became a pelvic therapist, I was doing a little bit of both. Again, in the hospital, there was multiple different types of treatments that needed to be done, and they just sent me wherever I was needed. So I moved around a lot. I was always doing some pelvic therapy. But again, it was a new treatment. Nobody had heard of it before.
When was this that it was a new treatment?
Yeah. So that was back in 2003.
Okay.
Yeah. So it had been around just a little bit before then. But when I say new, like new to Kansas City, so no physicians had heard of it. So they weren't sending people over. Patients weren't asking about it because they didn't know it was an option. So it took a while to get it out there that we even existed.
So what did people do before 2003 if they had like, you know, incontinence or you know, painful sex or any of those things? They just dealt with, they just buckled down and took some more aspirin.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Typically the prescription from doctors was just to drink another glass of wine. Yeah.
Even for incontinence?
not for incontinence. That was for pelvic pain. Yeah. And so that was fun. And actually there's still some physicians that will tell patients that, like, oh, just have a glass of wine. And with incontinence, they would just use pads. And you will still hear people say that well, you know, I'm older and I'm leaking, but that's just normal, because people thought it was normal. It's common, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I had a friend who told me that she had an issue with that. And I was like, she doesn't even have kids.
Yeah.
In my brain, I was going, huh, that's strange. Cool. So tell me more about the kind of, like, what do people normally ask you when they find out that you're in this very specific area of physical therapy?
Well, a lot of times they want to tell me their life story. So I hear a lot of life stories, but, you know, they're worried about, you know, like if they've had pain with intercourse, for instance. You know, I have people that have always, they've never had intercourse not be painful.
That's sad.
That can be really challenging in a marriage. Or if you're wanting to have a relationship of any sort, that can be a huge challenge. And so women in that situation will often either avoid intercourse, or they just kind of suck it up and then they just hurt, which makes them not want to. So they find every sort of reason they can to be like, well, you know, not tonight, I'm tired, or, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are many women that won't communicate that with their spouse. And again, that just, it makes for a huge challenge. So they want to talk to me about that and let me and ask, you know, what is it you do? What can you do? They're worried about it being an invasive treatment sometimes. And it, you know, it is. We're working on pelvic floor muscles, and the only way to get to it really is either vaginally or rectally. And so that can be scary for some people, but it's so, so helpful. It just makes such a huge difference.
Wow. So what do you think about Kegels?
I think they're great. I recommend them a lot for the right person. But I do think they're over-recommended. So I would say about half the people that come to me, they're having issues with incontinence. Everybody, the first thing they think is, oh my gosh, my muscles are weak, I need to do Kegels. That's the first thought everybody has. But about half the people, it's not that. It's that the muscles are too tight and just aren't working well in a full range of motion. And so if you just do Kegels, or if you go into the doctor's office and you sit on the chair that does like 100 Kegels a second or something like that, it will just make it way worse. And then people don't understand. They're like, well, I tried Kegels and it didn't help, so I don't know what to do now.
Right.
And the reality is that it's just, it wasn't personalized treatment, and it didn't.
I see.
Yeah.
Is there anything that people can do, I mean, outside of Kegels? Because I know you're talking about like this basically like hammock of muscle, right, at the bottom of the pelvis. Is there anything that people can do to help tone or strengthen that besides pelvic? I mean, what could a person do, you know, kind of DIY that would help that situation?
Well, the only exercise that's really targeted to the pelvic floor is the Kegel exercise. But that being said, those muscles are supported by a lot of surrounding muscles. And sometimes the weakness in the pelvic floor is because it doesn't have any good supports to pull against, or, right? So pelvic floor muscles attach to your abdominal muscles via connective tissue. So if somebody comes in and they have very weak abdominal muscles, or maybe they've had a baby and they have diastasis recti, which is a gap between that abdominal muscle, they're not going to have good support for their pelvic floor, and they're way more likely to have leakage. And they can do Kegels till the cows come home, but until they address that abdominal muscle, they're not going to have the results they want. Right? So we do spend time working on those surrounding muscles. I mentioned abs just because they're often weak on a lot of people, especially post-pregnancy, but also a lot of the hip muscles provide support. We do a lot of work on posture, because I see some people that maybe their muscles on their pelvic floor are tight on their right side and they drive all day, right? And so they're using that right side, or maybe they always lean to the right side, or they're always holding their kids on one hip, or something where they're only using one side of the body, and that's part of the issue. So we work on posture and then changing how we complete tasks throughout the day.
I had no idea. I thought it was just very localized. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Learn something new every day.
I mean, I guess, right? Another good reason to do some sit-ups or at least leg lifts. Right?
Yeah.
What inspired you to go off and make your own practice, right? To start the Perfect Pelvis itself instead of working in a clinic or a hospital?
So I've been in the hospital, and I actually, there was a lot of benefits to being there. I had a wonderful boss. I just loved her. But pelvic floor therapy was not as much of a priority in the hospital. You know, keep in mind they're seeing everything. And so sometimes you have somebody that comes in and maybe they've had an amputation or they've had a stroke or they've, you know, been paralyzed, and they would prioritize people that had those conditions, which is fine. You know, there's a hospital and that's what they needed to do. Right. But I wanted to be somewhere where I could make pelvic floor therapy a priority and also give me an avenue to actually do more education to the public, because that was one of the biggest issues I was seeing, is that people didn't know what we could do and how we could.
And how do you do that? Reach out to the public now, and how do people hear about like what you do and how you can help? I mean, how do you do that now?
Well, sometimes I use social media. I'll be honest, lately I have not been super great with social media. I've been busy, but I do have Facebook and I have Instagram. So I do reach out to people there. But also I spend a lot of time one-on-one with my patients, educating them. And I found that sometimes my patients are really the best about getting that out into the public. So they're talking to their mom and to their sister and to their best friend and their daughters. And so just having that access to more patients is making sure that more people are having more knowledge about pelvic floor therapy.
Right, right. So how would people know if you were the right person to reach out to, and in what situations? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I always feel that somebody, after they have a baby, it's always good to check and see. Now, there are some people that go through an entire pregnancy, they have a baby and they're fine. Like they, you know, really don't have too many issues.
Like people in their 20s?
It really is not age dependent.
Really?
Not at all. It really has nothing to do with age. Honestly, if you're in your 20s, you're actually a little bit more likely to have the issues with diastasis recti. So yeah, actually being younger is kind of a con in that particular instance. So yeah, it really doesn't make any difference with age, but I really think most people would benefit from at least a check to come in. You go to your doctor 6 weeks after you have a baby and they basically are telling you, nope, everything's healing. You don't have an infection. Sometimes physicians check a little bit more than that, but most of them do not. So if you come into pelvic floor therapy, then we can actually check all the muscles out. Yes, you have normal range of motion. Yes, you have good strength. You would be okay to go back to running. Maybe you're not okay to go back to running. So these are the steps you need to take to be ready to do your CrossFit or to do your running or to lift off the ground your 50-pound toddler, you know?
Right. Right. So are there doctors there in Lee's Summit that refer people to you, or that you have like a cross referral relationship with? Like, you're like, I know this doctor, he's really great. Or is it really just word of mouth through your patients?
I do. I have a list of patients, or a list of physicians that I have. A few family practice doctors that send me people. I have a really good relationship with a doctor in a GI office here. And she's wonderful at what she does. And so I just love it that she sends me people, and then I send people to her that need any GI work as well.
So how long have you had your private practice?
About 8 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a long time. That's great. That's cool. So how could people reach out to you and contact you and get to learn a little bit more about you? What's the best way?
They can reach out to me on my Instagram. So we're there at the Perfect Pelvis. You can also reach out to me on Facebook on Perfect Pelvis, or you can just go directly through my email if you have more personal questions you want to ask. And that's krush, R-U-S-H, at theperfectpelvis.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And is there anything that you'd want to leave people with, like your rah-rah mission statement about pelvic health, or is there anything you'd want to like say at the end to be like, this is what I want you to remember?
This is what I want you to do. Yeah. Honestly, I would say really advocate for yourself. And that doesn't just go for pelvic floor therapy, but anything in healthcare. We don't get much time with physicians anymore. And so that doesn't give a physician very much time to really figure out what's going on with you. And you may go in for an appointment and they're dealing with your cholesterol and your blood pressure and, you know, weight or all those other different things, where you may also have something with pelvic floor, and that may help you be able to work on some of these other things that you're wanting to do, help you be able to participate in exercise like you'd like to. So just make sure that you advocate for yourself when you go in, and ask for pelvic floor therapy if you feel like you need it. And maybe you're not sure if you need it. You can come in if you want to. We'll do a screening for you, and that's something that you could take into your physician. Or you can ask the physician to send you. We can do one visit and see if that's, just check everything out and make sure everything's good if you want to.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us. And I really hope that more people learn about pelvic floor therapy, because like I had a friend many years ago who started probably around the same time as you. But besides her, I've never heard of another pelvic floor therapist.
Yeah.
So
we're out there.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on Second Wind Women. I hope today's conversation sparked something for your own journey. This podcast is one way I support women who are stepping into entrepreneurship. In my work, I help entrepreneurs shape businesses that not only grow, but also feel good to run. The kind that fit your life instead of taking it over. If you're building something and want a little more clarity, structure, or strategy, you can find out more about how I work with entrepreneurs at secondwindwomen.com. Until next time, keep breathing life into that second wind. It might just carry you further than you think. Thanks.